Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Oxford Biomedica and Axovant Scientists enter into an $842.5 million exclusive worldwide license agreement for OXB-102 for the treatment of Parkinson's disease. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. If you require operator assistance at any time, you can press the star and zero on your telephone keypad. When we come to questions, you will need to press the star and one if you wish to ask a question. I must advise you the call is recorded today on Wednesday, the 6th of June, 2018. I would now like to hand over to the first speaker today, Mr. John Dawson, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm delighted to be here this afternoon to talk to you about our new deal with Axovant for OXB-102, or soon to be known as Axolinti-PD. During the presentation, I'll be presenting with Kyri and Stuart today, talking about the deal and how we go forward from here as a business. During the presentation also, we'll be looking forward and making statements that cannot be relied upon. Going to the presentation, the meat of the presentation here, we are a world-leading cell and gene therapy company. There's three parts for that to talk about. The world has changed in cell and gene therapy since last summer. With Kymriah getting approved, that has changed the perspective of many companies. Lots of people come to us to talk about working with us on the partner side, with the royalties as well going forward there, but also a lot more interest in our own products. I think this is the evolution of that today with the new deal with Axovant, which we're so excited about. We've seen three gene therapies approved so far, with another seven coming in the next 2 years, and this will be a multi-billion dollar sector in the coming years. We now have a profitable platform working with some great partners, Novartis in cancer, Biverica in hemophilia, Orchard Therapeutic in rare diseases, Natural Killer Cells, Green Cross Labs, and cancer with Immune Design. I think what this does stamp today is our developing product side, where we bring our own products forward from our research and discovery to the end of preclin, and then plan to spin them out into special purpose vehicles or license them to other companies. I think we now have two great deals in place with Sanofi and this new one today with Axovant. On to slide four, talking about the strategy, and this has been a slide we've been using for a while now. It describes what we do exactly. We have the backbone of our company, our lentivector platform, broken down into four particular parts. First of all, patents and know-how, the IP there. Again, we rely on those know-how items way out into the 30s to get royalties to that point. Facilities, we've spent 26 million pounds over the last 3 years, and about to spend another 20 very quickly in the coming 18 months to have more GMP suites, plus fill and finish. Expertise, we have about 350 people today. We'll grow to 400 by year-end, probably 500 the year after. The real big thing for us is quality, and this is why all the big companies like what we do, because we can offer them quality services that meet, first of all, Novartis standards and also the FDA's. The model then splits into two parts. If I talk about partner programs first and then our own products. First of all, partner programs. Spoken about this before many times, but this gives us a lot of access to various types of income streams. Process development fees, incentives, manufacturing or bioprocessing revenues and royalties. We've got a big tick here. We've got some great partners, Orchard Therapeutic, Immune Design, Biverica, and Novartis. Great names to have in your portfolio. The one thing we hadn't done since 2016, when we talked about it first and changing our strategy, was to actually execute out-licensing products. Today we've done that. We've got a big tick there as far as we're concerned as well. We now have three companies in that section, Sanofi, Axovant, and Green Cross Labs, and we actually have a machine in the background as well, bringing forward new ideas from discovery research. We'll take some of these forward as well into our business and bring them forward to the point of the end of preclin and then spin them out again into special purpose vehicles. There's a stress there. In the future, as we get stronger, we might want to take drugs further forward than ourselves as and when we think that's right. That would be a change of strategy, and we would discuss that with major shareholders. Moving on to the deal itself, and again, a very exciting deal as far as we can see at this point in time. It's a worldwide exclusive license agreement to develop and commercialize OXB-102 for Parkinson's in all indications around that. Axovant have a license to our lentivector-enabled technology. They also have access to our industrial scale manufacturing technology. We will be putting in place very soon clinical and commercial supply agreements as we need them. The beauty of Axovant is they can fall back on the extensive drug development platform of Roivant to ensure its rapid development and progress to market. We've been saying this for a while, but we do believe, and we're pretty certain this will go into the clinic in the second half of this year, the phase I/II study in Parkinson's for Axolinti-PD. In terms of the deal, again, a very good deal from where we sit. Headline value, $842.5 million. The upfront was $30 million, of which 5 was prepayment for manufacturing services, and the balance comes as $55 million for specified development milestones, as well as $757.5 million for regulatory and sales milestones. Again, the royalty here, it's a very good royalty for the stage of the drug, is at 7-10% tiered, payable on net sales. Axovant, again, a listed company on NASDAQ, ticker Axon, are a clinical stage biopharm company dedicated to advancing treatments for patients with life-altering neurologic conditions. They have a very interesting mission to transform promising therapies into solutions for patients, and they are experts in neurological disorders, and driving that business forward, we believe we have the perfect partner going into the future for AxoNTPD, and also falling back on the strength of Roivant, we believe we can see these this particular drug moving to market expeditiously. At that point, I'll pass to Kiri to talk about the products.
Thank you, John. So Oxford Biomedica's product pipeline is divided into two parts. We have our proprietary products and those that we partnered. We'll go on to describe AxoLentPD, which, as John was saying, has been partnered with Axovant. This is expected to enter clinical trials towards the end of this year. We have previously partnered two ocular products with Sanofi for Stargardt disease, which we expect to enter pivotal studies in 2019, and shortly thereafter the product for Usher syndrome 1B. In terms of our proprietary products, we are developing a corneal graft rejection and a wet AMD product. These are to be further developed through our Aquila VC that has been set up. And we have OXV302. This is a CAR-T product looking to target an oncofetal antigen called 5T4 that is highly expressed on cancer cells and cancer stem cells. Moving on to Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease is a progressive neurodegenerative disorder resulting from the loss of dopamine in the striatum. The motor symptoms include tremor, rigidity, and slowness of movement, and Parkinson's disease affects 1% of adults over the age of 60. This is around 7 to 10 million patients worldwide. The current standard of care is primarily oral L-DOPA. However, there's still a significant unmet need in these patients. The L-DOPA medication leads to eventually waning off, fluctuations in the patients, and dyskinesia. These are side effects caused by the L-DOPA medication itself. In terms of AxoLentPD, we have, formerly known as OXP102, we have three genes encoded by this lentiviral vector: tyrosine hydroxylase, cyclohydrolase 1, and aromatic amino acid decarboxylase AADC. These three enzymes allow the efficient conversion of tyrosine, an amino acid found throughout the body, to dopamine. The lentiviral vector has the capacity to deliver these three genes efficiently into the area of the brain that is needed. The vector is administered through a one-time only MRI-guided stereotactic surgery into the putamen. This converts those cells in the putamen to make their own dopamine, which leads to long-term benefit. Oral L-DOPA medication works very well in the early stages of disease. However, this is taken as a tablet and leads to a pulsatile dopamine production in the brain, leading to peaks and troughs of dopamine production. Our aim with AxoLentPD is to normalize dopamine concentration in the putamen, and the goal is to lessen troublesome dyskinesias, lower the off time the patients experience over time, give the patients more good on time, and also lower the amount of exogenous L-DOPA that the patients have had. In 2008, Oxford Biomedica initiated a clinical trial in Parkinson's disease with Prosabin, an early version of this vector. 15 patients were treated, and we saw an improvement in all patients at the 12-month time point. The average improvement was across the patient groups was around 12 points. We have followed these patients longer term, and at the four-year time point. Of the 15 patients that were treated, 10 can still be assessed, and of those 10, 8 are still better than a baseline. This is very encouraging given that you would expect the patients to be getting worse year on year as their Parkinson's disease further develops. So Axolenti PD is an improvement over Prosavin. We have optimized the three genes. We have fused two of the genes together and optimized the arrangements in terms of the vector construct. This allows us to achieve a tenfold increase in dopamine plus L-DOPA production over the original construct. This means that when we administer the same amount of vector as the original Prosavin, we can achieve 10 times increase in dopamine production. This has been tested in primary human neurons as well as in relevant primate models, and we have demonstrated efficacy in all those studies. I'll now hand over to Stuart.
Good afternoon, everyone. So, quite rightly, we've been spending a bit of time talking about our products and particularly our Parkinson's disease approach, which is now partnered with Axovant. And it falls to me just to give a quick reminder of where we are in our platform pipeline. It's on page 18. Of course, first and foremost on that list is Novartis. The DLBCL indication in the US has recently been approved at the start of May. And we're expecting some news on approval in the EU for both indications, pediatric ALL and DLBCL in the near future for approval in the EU. Of course, there's a second CAR-T product making its way down to us very soon, and we're hoping to be able to start a partnership on that and keep working with Novartis in such a way that we retain the partner of choice for them as we go forward. We've got Bioveritiv there, which is an in vivo approach to hemophilia, which is very exciting. The FDA pronouncements regarding gene therapy in general, or hemophilia in particular, very recently. We're very encouraged with the approach there. The science is very exciting, a lengthy approach in vivo to hemophilia. Orchard Therapeutics have been very active in acquisition as well. They recently acquired some assets from GSK, which were originally licensed from us to GSK, so it's found its way back to Orchard. Orchard will very soon be filing BLA for ADA-SCID, and we're looking forward to support them through that process. And again, they're a very important partner to us, and they've been extremely good to work with, and an innovative young company. And then last but not least, we have Immune Design, and it's worth mentioning that with their lead product, the sarcoma, they've had their protocol approved for their phase 3 study very recently, and they'll be entering phase 3 very, very soon. And that's an in vivo approach, an immuno-oncology approach to sarcoma. So as you can see, we have a wide-ranging in vivo and ex vivo approach in our partnership, in our partners' platform. And we are very encouraged with the activity we have ongoing in business development. And we're hoping to add to this roster very soon. So in summary, on page 20, we've gone through a bit of the expected news flow on Novartis and Orchard there. It's worth mentioning that on the lentivector vector delivery platform, we expect to sign new deals on partners before the end of 2018. And we're also investing in internal innovations to keep us ahead of the game when it comes to our platform and the innovations for our partners and our own products. And there are various ongoing internal programs. This sort of deal we've just signed also gives us the opportunity to look for targeted external technologies we can bring in-house to further strengthen our platform also. In terms of the in-house products, of course, we're talking about Axolenti PD now. And as Kiri mentioned, we've also got, we've put in place an ocular spin-out company called Aquila, which we are looking to get some VC funding for both OXB 201 and 202, and we're looking to progress OXB 302 as well. So, you know, I think this is, as a proof of concept, shows that we can take our own products, take them through the preclinical cycle, and create value for all of our stakeholders. So we're very excited by the deal. And back on page 21, it's just the same slide as we started with, and what we're saying is, you know, Oxford Biomedica is further reinforcing its position as a world-leading gene and cell therapy company. We're lucky enough to be in a very fast-growing market. We find ourselves at the forefront of the innovation and the manufacturing technologies in that marketplace. And we think there are very, very big synergies to be had between working with partners, advancing our platform, and developing our own products. And I think with that, we'll be happy to take some questions.
Ask a question, please.
Thank you. Your first question comes from the line of Amy Walker.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. I apologise if you've covered some of this in your call. At least from where I'm sitting, the quality of the line is pretty dreadful. I hope you can hear me okay. My questions are, number one, the company and the balance sheet are clearly much stronger now than they were when you refinanced your debt in the middle of last year. So, Stuart, I wondered if you saw scope for a further refinancing soon, and whether you could comment on the terms and what those might look like to the extent that you can. I know that's difficult, but any colour would be hugely appreciated. The second question I had was, I listened into the Axivant call earlier today, and the company said that it's hoping to in-license a number of further products before the end of this year. And they also, of course, as we know, announced a number of new hires just this morning alongside the deal with you. Do you have any concerns over their execution capacity, and will there be any members of the Oxford Biomedica team or full-time employees from your side embedded into their operations to help you keep on top of progress? Just any comments you can make about, you know, sort of mitigation around execution risk would be helpful. And then, John, I'm sorry, I think you mentioned something about the number of employees that you were expecting and how that was going to move over the course of this year and next, but the line was very bad and I couldn't quite follow whether that was a reiteration of what you said before. So if you wouldn't mind just repeating those numbers for us, I'd be grateful. Thank you.
So, Amy, this is a live conversation now, so can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Good, okay. So you asked three questions. So question one was around debt. So the answer is yes, we are looking at our options regarding a refinance. We refinanced the original debt, which was signed back in 2015, in June in 2017. So we still have an initial period of that refinance from 2017 to run. But what we do have now is optionality in a very different risk profile in the company. So you're quite right to suggest that we're looking at our options. I can't comment too much, but we have a whole range of options that would include either an element of cheaper finance, our own money from this upfront, and or other monies coming our way in the near future. So we are assessing. It's ultimately going to be a board decision, and we haven't discussed it fully there yet. But we're confident that by the end of the year we can have something in place which is more appropriate for a company of our risk profile. I think your second question was around the in-license on the Axivant side, and whether we were concerned that if they picked up more assets, they had the bandwidth to do this. I fully expect them to be active. But you know, one of the reasons that we have that Axivant were our partner of choice on Axil and TPD was that they have a very, very good clinical team there. We did our diligence on them. They're very well supported. They have the ability to make some great hires, as you suggested. And they are taking six of our staff on a seconded basis on the clinical side to help them with a seamless transition from where the developments and the progress we've made so far, taking this into the clinic, and what they're going to do. So we are fully aligned, linked in, and as you can see, they have the ability and the sort of branding to make some very, very fine appointments, as they have announced in the recent past. And John, there was a question on number of employees.
Yeah, so current number of employees around the 350 mark. We expect to be up to 400 by December 31st this year, and on our expansion plans to go into the new building for the GMP switch and finish, up to around 500 by the end of 19. So that's roughly where we see our trajectory.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Joe Panginis.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. Congratulations on the transaction. So first, a housekeeping question for Stuart, and then a more general question for you guys. With regard to the housekeeping, I just wanted to verify the accounting for the upfront milestone. Is this something that you would recognize all at once, or will you amortize it?
Hi, Joe. Yes, there's $30 million upfront. $25 million of that is a license fee. And we are planning, and we have the precedent to recognise that all up front. The other $5 million is dependent on some actions and will not be recognised up front, so it will be deferred. And we are scheduling the work as we speak, so we don't quite know when that's going to be recognised. But certainly the majority of the $25 million will be an immediate recognition.
Got it. Thank you for the reminder. And then the more general question that I had is, are you able to discuss what the, the landscape looked like ahead of this transaction with regard to, you know, was this a competitive process, you know, were other people in play? And then similar to the last question, you know, why you eventually chose Axivant, but really, you know, was it a competitive process or were there multiple discussions ongoing?
We had a lot of people interested in the drug, we had a lot of people in the data room, and we progressed several discussions close to the end, actually, to be fair. We went with Axivant because we think they are the perfect partner for OXB-102 or Axolentipd going forward. The right people, the right ambitions, the right hunger, and they see this as their key drug going forward for the future. Now, we see this drug as our crown jewels. We have to put it into very good hands. We believe we've done so.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys, and congrats again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Stefan Hamel.
Good afternoon, folks. Congratulations on the deal. I've got three questions. Can you remind us what the invested cap today in OXB-102 is, including the prior ProSavin trials, and just sort of set that into context with the upfront payment? Second question is on the dosing. I understand that you guys can, you've now, with the next gen version, you've got a sort of tenfold improvement on the levels. And I also understand that you can, I think you can achieve a 3x improvement in the volume dosed. So I'm just wondering how you're going to find the upper dose limit in this ongoing trial. And then third question is, the manufacturing revenues, I guess, would be quite low from this because we're talking about a relatively small number of patients. Am I right in thinking that? Thank you.
So, Stefan, if you wouldn't mind, I think we briefly lost you on your first question. So could you repeat your first question for me?
Sure, sorry. Just to remind us, looking back into Oxford Bio history, what the invested cap to date in both OXB-102 and ProSavin is, and just can you just comment on your satisfaction with the upfront payment in context, in that context?
We've come to the conclusion in the room, Stefan, it's very hard to say. We haven't tracked it in that way. So rather than give you a number sort of off the cuff that is non-representative, then I'll get back to you on the total amount put into OXB 101 and 102 since we started. But it's been a long process. I mean, as you know, Trosavin was treating patients back in 2008. And so there was plenty of work from the early 2000s. I mean, to a degree, we are where we are with the product. It's evolved into what you can see as a valuable BioWorld number of $842.5 million with, you know, and that doesn't include the royalties or the batch revenues and the rest. So we think we've got fair value for the value of the asset and the effort we've put into that asset. I'll let Kiri comment on the dosing.
So you're right, the dosing with the new construct allows us to achieve a tenfold improvement. The clinical trial is designed as it stands to have three dose levels, and the lowest dose is aimed to match the highest dose of the Prosavin clinical trial, and we'll dose escalate from there. Once a dose has been identified as a suitable efficacy, clinical trial switches to a Part B, a sham-controlled evaluation of AXOLNTPD.
Okay, so basically you're hoping to find an optimal dose within those first three dose levels. You've got confidence that you've got a broad enough range there to find the ultimate dose.
That's our expectation, yes.
And can you comment on what the top dose would be as a multiple of the bottom? Is that the range that we're talking about here?
Yeah, so it will be a tenfold higher dose in terms of dopamine production versus the Prosavin.
Okay, and so it's the tenfold range that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Gotcha, thank you.
And I think your last question was on manufacturing revenues.
Yes.
So, I mean, certainly because of the nature of the indication and the amount of vector needed going into the brain, you know, this is one of those drugs which, as a CFO, I find very exciting because it doesn't take up much of our manufacturing capacity and it produces a big return on royalties. So, you know, you can see the royalties are tiered there from 7 to 10%. You know, if this gets to market, which we are hoping, and I think we've given it the best chance partnering with Axovant, then, you know, the royalties become the major part of the value of the product for us. You're right that the volumes are relatively low. There'll be a process B, you know, bioreactor process for the drug by the time it comes to commercialization. But that's great. That frees up other capacity for other approaches with other partners for us. So we're very excited.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Daniel Wilkinson. Mr. Wilkinson, your line is open if you wish to ask your question.
Oh, apologies. Thanks for taking my questions. Looking at the royalties and the commercial milestones, with the royalties, obviously you tier them up there, and looking at the kind of the high end with the 10% of kind of net annual sales, about $4 billion. Can we kind of look at the milestones in the same way where the kind of significant proportion is coming at those kind of higher ends?
We can't go into too much detail there because we're following the press releases that Axovant have done. So we can talk about the 55 and the 757. I would say some of that will come from development, some from sales milestones. Obviously, they're more back-ended as the sales get larger.
Okay, thanks. And then just looking at that $25 million upfront, obviously we talked about obviously paying down some of that debt, but kind of investing into own R&D, or was that kind of unknown at this time?
Go
Just repeat the question, Daniel. Apologies.
So for that $25 million upfront, as well as kind of the ideas around kind of paying down that debt, kind of is there any other thoughts around maybe reinvesting that into R&D or maybe even further expansions down the line?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, I think as I highlighted earlier, what it gives us is optionality. So, you know. The things we're concentrating on are innovation technologies and also clearing down debt. So it could be a combination of those two, or it could be, you know, a strategic acquisition of technologies, or it could just be 100% used to pay down the debt, you know, with whatever other mechanisms we put in place. So, you know, what we find in, we find ourselves in a position where, you know, we do have various options to do various things, and we're lucky enough to be at the forefront of a growing area. So whichever gives the best return for the shareholders are the areas we'll concentrate on.
Okay, thank you. And then just one final one. On the AXO-Lenti PD, kind of talking about the dosing, at those higher ends of the tenfold, is there any concerns that you could get too much dopamine production? Would you get dyskinesias from that? Or kind of, can you give us an idea of the kind of safety kind of profile you'd be looking for at those higher levels?
Yeah, so we've done extensive studies to evaluate safety, particularly with regards to dyskinesia. We've tested it in various models, and we have never seen any issues with dyskinesia. In the first clinical trial with Prosavin, the dyskinesias were normalized in patients to an extent. We never saw a worsening. The reason for the dose escalation is also to mitigate against that. The patients are on at least 1,000 milligrams of L-dope equivalent medication a day, and that means that there is scope to reduce the medication as needed. So in combination of assessing L-dope medication for the patients, improvement and the dose escalation, we are guarding against that, but we've never seen any issues in the past.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We have no further time for questions. I would now like to hand back to Mr. Dawson to close the call.
Thank you very much for attending the call today. Obviously, it's a great deal for us. We're very excited by it and be happy to chat to each of you individually if you have any further questions to come. Okay. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude your call for today. Thank you all for participating, and you may now disconnect.